If you are struggling with overwhelm in motherhood and wondering if there's a way to move past it, or if you doubt that God really is at work in the midst of your overwhelm, then you will love getting to hear from our guest, Michelle, today. Michelle is a single mom and founder of Plus One Parents, a ministry for single parents, and she is no stranger to overwhelm and how isolating and crippling it can often feel. Michelle and I, we share a lot of our own experiences with overwhelm in motherhood and how it shows up in a lot of different ways, sometimes without even really being aware of it. We also discuss the world's definition of more versus the biblical definition of more and how that pursuit of more can really change how we approach motherhood, both positively and negatively. We talk about how the enemy uses our overwhelm against us and how God works through our overwhelm to invite us into more with Him. Bottom line is, if you haven't experienced overwhelm as a mom yet, there will probably be a time when you do. And when that time comes, you will want to have the truth that Michelle shares in this episode tucked in your heart. So lean in, refill your coffee, and let's live joy-filled. Hey mama, I'm Jenna, and you're listening to the Joy-Filled Podcast. I'm here to help stay-at-home moms thrive by equipping you with tools to help you acknowledge and embrace your season and encourage you to bring joy back into your motherhood. You'll walk away with everything you need to truly experience the fullness of joy in this beautiful season of raising babies at home. So reheat or refill wherever you're at in your day, your coffee, and let's live joy-filled together. Michelle, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. I am so, so excited to get to sit down and chat with you and hear from you. Thank you so much for being here with us.
Yeah, it's great to be with you, Jenna. I'm excited.
So give us an introduction kind of into who you are, your family. Tell us what we need to know about you.
Yeah. So my name is Michelle Donnelly. I lead a ministry for single parents called Plus One Parents, and I have three children. My kids are ages 14. I always forget how old they are because of birthdays. I'm like, what month is it?
Yes.
11 and 5, and mix of girls and boys. So it's a busy household. Lots of things going on.
Awesome. Well, we are right there with you. A lot of our listener base here on the podcast, we're all kind of in the trenches of those early years of motherhood. So it's so fun. I know we were just talking about this before we hit record, but it's so fun to get to hear from moms who are just slightly beyond this, this early season of motherhood and kind of get to hear from you. I'm excited to learn from you today and get to pick your brain and just be encouraged by you as a mom who's kind of coming out of this season that so many of us are right in the middle of.
Yeah, I always appreciate the age gap of my kids because, as I mentioned, my youngest is 5. And so I feel like I had like those earlier years with my older kids where it was like, oh my goodness, like, what am I doing? They let me take a baby out of the hospital. What is this? And then I had this, you know, nice gap where then I was back into that season, but it was only one of them. And it was like, oh, I've done this before.
I can do this. I can do one. It probably made it feel like such a breeze.
Yes, but it was a good refresher because even with one, is for real. Yeah.
It's amazing how quickly you forget all the things. I even noticed because my older two are 16 months apart, and then the gap between number 2 and 3 is just about 2 years. And I know some people will hear that and be like, those are still really close together. But for me, going from having basically two babies at the same time to having a 3-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a new baby, I was like, this is a piece of cake. Like,
I got two who can at least put a spoon in their own mouth. Like,
right. Or like, fetch me a diaper or throw stuff away. Like, they are helpers. And so this is game changing. And so, yeah, it's funny how quickly you forget like all of the baby things so fast. Like, even in that 2 years, which is still like, I mean, a 2-year-old is still feels like a baby a lot of the time. But
I was like, when we had our third, I was like, oh, this is what I have to do. Okay, like, this is how this feels. And this is, I felt like I was still relearning, even just after 2 years. And so I can imagine that the gap between an 11-year-old and a 5-year-old, you'd have a lot of relearning to do, for sure.
That is true. That's true. And all the gadgets were different.
Yes. I even find that from, and like I said, my kids are not far apart. I don't have big age gaps. And I still, like, from the oldest to the youngest, I'm like, wait, everything changed already. Like, I thought that I had a little bit longer before things changed. But it's like every couple years, it just, everything changes.
Yep. And actually, the hardest part was stuff that I had done with my older kids that was now like, no, you don't do
you
that
can't
anymore.
Do that. Yeah.
I was like, but it works.
Yeah. You can't lay them on their stomach anymore. And we don't do that.
No. That was definitely not on the table.
It's so funny. Just especially like with my mom and with parents and older generation, they're like, do this. And I'm like, no, we can't do that. So you have a new Bible study called Made for More. So exciting. Congratulations on that. I would love Thanks. To know more about what it means to be made for more. And I know that it talks a lot about overcoming overwhelm. That's kind of the theme. And so I would love to hear more about that.
Yeah. So to set this up for you, as far as this combination between being overwhelmed and this thought of being made for more, have kind of a funny COVID lockdown story. It wasn't funny at the time, but my youngest, who we've been talking a little bit about at the time, was 2 years old. And this child is like, when you're not looking, she's like a ninja baby. She is like, oh, you like went to the bathroom for 2 minutes? Cool. I'm going to scale the pantry shelves and get the goldfish that you thought you hid at the top. You know, like she's very, very clever. And so, you know, here it was, though, it was locked down. All of us didn't know what was going on in the world, you know, isolated from our family and friends. And it was just already a very trying time. Me with my three kids locked down by myself in my house. And so there was one day where she had gotten under the sink, kitchen sink, and gotten a bottle of non-toxic, I always say that, non-toxic dish soap. But she took the bottle and dumped the entire thing. It was full. Dumped the entire bottle all over the floor. And at first, that's like, well, you know, that's not a dangerous thing, right? But I don't know if you've ever tried to clean up soap, Jenna. But the more water you put on soap, the more
logically thinking about it, I can see how that would be very difficult to clean up an entire bottle of dish soap.
So, and it's one of those things, though, that like everything mounted one on top of another, you know, all of the things that we were going through and these various messes she was making and, you know, me trying to keep my kids safe and sane and myself safe and sane. But all of this compiling together at one time was just leaving me feeling like nothing I do works. Nothing I do matters. I can't do this. And that, when we talk about overwhelm, like that is really at the core of what we're talking about. We're not just talking about tired or exhausted. Like if we're talking about exhausted, that's something that you can go like power nap it out and then you're good, you know, when you come out. Overwhelm is this, is the stuff we're carrying around though. In our hearts, it's the stuff that makes us feel like I can't do this, you know, that maybe, you know, whatever it is in your story, though, that's being set off by all of the busyness of motherhood, because that's real, you know, but it's all of what is going on in your heart and in your head as you're trying to trudge through and deal with all these things. You know, it's the thing that makes every day just that much harder and that much heavier. And a lot of times when we get into that mode, you know, we're looking around us, looking at ourselves and going like, is this what I signed up for? Like, is this all that there is? Is this all it's going to be? You know, and the Bible study being called Made for More just highlights the fact that no, this is not all that there is. Like wherever you find yourself in your story, like, there's things that come at us sideways, whether it's, you know, something, a diagnosis, a death, a disappointment, a divorce, like whatever it's been in your story, in your life that is still with you today that gives you all of this anxiety about where is God and where was God and does he care and all of those things that were like that are nagging us at the back of our mind, but we don't really give too much time to, you know, that in being aware, though, that those stories are there, being aware that that internal dialogue is there, that when we do start to address it and we do start to ask the hard questions that God wants us to know, no, I made you for so much more.
Wow. I love what you said about overwhelm being those things that nag us and kind of those internal dialogue things and how important it is to be aware of them. How does overwhelm show up in how we raise our kids when we're aware of it and also when we're not aware of it? Like, how does that show up in how we raise our kids?
You know, this is one of those things, and you pointed out, like, sometimes we know we're doing these things, sometimes we don't know we're doing these things. And the deal is, like, when we have that internal monologue that's just running around in our heads, like, nothing I do is working or nothing I do matters, you know, or you got the hamster on the wheel. Like, we all know what that feels like. It causes us this heaviness and just this, like, dread that we're carrying around with us. And we handle it in different ways that often comes out in our relationships. And that's all kinds of relationships, but definitely the way we relate to our kids, you know? So if we think about that feeling of like inadequacy or disappointment or whatever it is that you've got, you know, that's going to tend to do one of two things within you. It's going to tend to push you towards things that you feel that maybe you can control, push you into that stress. Or it's going to cause you to like disengage and pull way back. And when we think about the way that it comes to our kids, you know, we have this kind of feeling in our lives sometimes like, man, everything just feels like it's out of control. But what I can do is I can be the best mom that there is. Like that is something that I can control, right? But then that impacts the way that we relate to our kids, you know, where everything then is like, well, I got to like have them in the right programs and I got to get them in the right school and we got to have all the sports activities and we got to be having dinner time devotionals and we got to, you know? And so we're running ourselves ragged by trying to control something in a life that feels somewhat maybe uncontrollable. And then on the flip side, though, and again, sometimes we don't even know we're doing this. Sometimes we're disengaging, we're pulling back. So we've got, you know, push in, but we also can pull back where it's like, you know, maybe, no, I think my kids are okay.
Yeah.
You know, like maybe they don't really need my input here, you know, or we discount the things that we have to give to our kids and maybe feel that, you know, they don't really need that from me or we have a difficult time. We have a difficult time understanding what their needs really are. And so there's just a lot of it relates to need, but a lot of either kind of overdoing it or maybe even underdoing it. And we're doing the best that we know how, you know, none of this is like with ill intentions, but it all starts with that heaviness that's in our hearts that then we're either going to figure out a way that we can outrun it or we're just going to collapse, you know?
Yeah. I would love to hear your perspective on how God kind of works through that and through our overwhelm to kind of bring us back to who he is. Because like you said, it's easy when we find ourselves overwhelmed to either do too much and overcompensate or do too little and disengage. Mm-hmm. And I've found myself on both ends of the spectrum. And I think most moms probably have. Like we go through seasons where it's like, oh, filling up my schedule will solve these feelings of inadequacy or these feelings of not enoughness or whatever it is. And then on the flip side, like we just need to cancel everything and not do anything. And I'm just going to do the very least because I just can't handle anything. And so I would love to just hear your perspective on how God works through that to bring us back to who he is.
Yeah, well, I think one of the things, and this is the gift and the challenge, is our kids will let us know.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, if we are overdoing it, underdoing it, our kids are going to react. You know, they might act out. They might have tantrums. They might do all variety of different things that let us know they're feeling disconnected from us. And that's really what's at heart here, is that we're not connecting well with our kids when we're in this mode, you know? And it's in that space, though, where kind of we get to this point of like, I throw up my hands.
Yeah.
I really don't know what else to do. And that's the moment where God is like,
yes. Yes.
Good. Let's do this together. Like, super, like, motherhood is supernatural. I didn't make for you to do this by yourself. Absolutely. I didn't make for you to be chasing this idea of what being a perfect mom is. Like, I've put things in you and I have equipped you by my power and my strength to do this job, and I want to do it with you. And so by getting to the brink of that overwhelm, it's that space where we finally can say, my way doesn't work and I want to try something else. And this is where we meet this contradiction of, you know, where we're often told in the world, like, being a good mom means you're doing X, you're doing Y, you're doing Z, that really it starts in the basis of having a good connection with the Father, that connecting to our kids well comes out of connecting well with the Father. And that is actually an invitation for us to rest in his care and rest in the love that he has for us, so that we have that to pour out.
Yeah, I think that's so, so true, and something that I have seen true in my own life. And when I do find myself overwhelmed, if I take a step back, it's often the root of it is that I'm disconnected from my Father, and I'm striving to do it all in my own strength. And we see over and over again in Scripture God constantly reminding his people to lean on his strength and not theirs. And so it's like, this has been a struggle for humanity since the beginning of time, and it's not new. And I think you're so right in that overwhelm, it's the root of it is just being disconnected from our Father. And one thing that I have noticed too is when I get to those points of overwhelm, if I'm not careful to surrender, the enemy will slide in and really use that to twist my thinking and to deceive me into living in just a way that's less than God's best and than what he wants for us. Have you seen that? Do you have anything you could speak to that?
Yeah. My favorite verse in this is actually Matthew 11:28. And in it, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And when we look at those two words, weary and heavy laden, it's an interesting pair, because weary is the running and the going and the doing. But the heavy laden is the stuff that's put on us. And a lot of times it's the stuff that was put on us, and maybe even from when we were really young, you know, whether it was the way that we related to our parents, whether it was kids who bullied us at school, whether it was, you know, some other things that are horrendous and unspeakable. You know, there are things that get put on us. And those are those spaces where the devil comes at us just like he came at Eve, and where all of those lies get going in our minds, you know. And as those lies take root, then that's where the weary part comes from. Yes. That's the striving. That's the, I'm trying to outrun this lie. And Jesus is saying, whether it is something that was put on you wrongly or your reaction to that, you can bring it all to me. You don't got to hide. Like, I already know it's there. You don't have to back away from me. And when you come close, when you come to me, you'll see that I love you as you are. I love you right where you're at. And I'm going to give you rest from all that stuff that you're carrying around. And that's that space then where we have the ability to start to see something different. You know, a lot of times we have this alternate explanation that the devil has given us.
For sure.
Know, alternate explanation in quotes, lies, you know. Like, he's told us the story and we've believed it, right?
For sure.
And so it's in coming to the end of ourselves and saying, Jesus, just, I'm falling in your, you know, at your feet. Like, I'm falling in your lap. Yes. Like, I'm collapsing. Yes. Where we get another picture. We get the other side. We get, wow, no, he's safe. You know, he is not scary. He's not mad at me. You know, whatever it is that you've been carrying around, why you don't feel that you can come close to God with some of these things. You know, when we boldly do, and scripture tells us we can boldly come before the throne, we receive the grace that we need.
Yeah. I love that you brought up Matthew 11:28, because that's like my life verse, my absolute, probably, I mean, it's hard to pick a favorite scripture in the Bible, but probably my favorite scripture in the Bible. Just because, like you said, like, I love the picture, and I repeat it often to myself to remind myself to, like, collapse in his lap, like you said. And I often envision myself, like, just allowing him to wrap his arms around me and just, like, allowing me to take a deep breath and, you know, like, relax my shoulders and just, like,
yeah,
let go in his presence. And it's such a freeing thing for me to envision for myself, especially in motherhood, because, and I think often I get asked as a stay-at-home mom, because I feel like in some places it's super common and everyone stays home, and then in other places it's like nobody stays home and it's not very common. And so I'm kind of like right in the middle. I have a lot of friends who are working and a lot of friends who stay home. But anyways, I feel like I often get asked, like, how do you not get overwhelmed? How do you, like, how do you do this all day, every day? I can't imagine how you would do it. And my answer is always very simple. Like, I don't do it alone. I, like, when my natural meets his super, and that's where that supernatural peace, and when we surrender and we give it over to him, like, there aren't really words to explain how it feels, but you're so right.
It's the peace that passes understanding, right?
Absolutely, yes. There's just no words to explain how it feels. But I think as moms, especially for us, this podcast community, moms that are in the trenches, I think sometimes it can be hard to even imagine a life without overwhelm. Like, it can feel so out of reach, and it can feel so like, that's not for me, like, that's not my personality, I'll never be not overwhelmed. And so I would love to know, like, do you have any practical strategies or things that we can take away that moms can use in their own lives in the day-to-day overwhelm and things like that?
I love how you said that, as far as like, this is not for me. That's just not who I am. Like,
I just don't have that personality.
If you would have met me like 5 years ago, I was the type A person that there was. Okay. So I feel you, sister, if that's you. And, you know, part of it is we're very capable. We are, all of us, moms, women, God made us very capable. And a lot of times, though, we end up resting in those capabilities and driving from those capabilities and moving out of the achievement and the going and the doing and the being and the having and all of that, that we forget inherently where our identity really rests and lies in being daughters of the Most High King. And so if I think, though, about, we're talking about overwhelm and really where disconnection is where we're at, you know, it's fostering then that connection. And for everybody, that looks a little different. You know, for me, being a single mom with three kids, I have to get up in the morning, like a full hour before everybody else gets up. I got to go to bed early to make sure that I can make that happen. But I have to spend time just in the quiet, and every day it looks different. You know, I do usually have some combination of study and prayer and just quiet sitting, but like how those get chunked up changes every day, and there's fluidity in that relationship, and it's beautiful, you know? And so sometimes, like, if you're a very capable type A, go get it, you know, kind of a mom, you look at your study time as like, check that off.
Then. Yes, for sure.
You know? And there's so much to be gained from lingering, you know, and the reason why I mentioned that specifically is like, those are practices we need to carry with us then through the rest of the day, so that when you're at max capacity, you have the ability to pause, quiet, take some breaths, and recognize the Spirit of God is still with you in that moment. Like, just like he was with you in your corner chair in the morning, like, he's still with you in the middle of your kid throwing
a huge fit,
you know? And that we have the presence of mind, and we're practicing that when we're not in the midst of a chaotic, overwhelming situation, then when we are in an overwhelming situation, we can have that same presence of mind. We can have that same clarity. We have the ability then to say, Lord, I need some help, but then to perceive what needs to be done in that moment. You know, what does this child need from me? What do I need right now? Maybe I need to let them cry in their room for a few minutes so I can just close the door. They're safe in there. And I need to go take some breaths so that I go in there, like, ready to be able to connect, you know? And those are the things where we somewhere know that there's a breakdown.
Yeah.
Somewhere in our system where we're not able to connect with our kids, there is something that we need to tend to on our own, in our own relationship with God and connecting to him, that allows us to, like, get back in the game. But a lot of times it's preventative type stuff.
Yeah.
Because all the deep breathing in the world is not going to help you if you don't already have an established practice of connecting with God.
And I think that sometimes we can forget to bring God into those moments, because a lot of times those moments, like, we aren't our best self always. And so it can be kind of scary and feel really vulnerable to invite God into those moments, because they're not our best moments, and we're not tidied up with our Bible and our notebook and our cute chair. Like, we like to think that we can come to God tidied and neat and nice and put them in a box and keep that in a box. And so it can be easy to forget that God is in those moments too. And we don't have to worry about us not being our best self, because he's seen it all and he loves us anyways. And that's why, you know, that's why we have the Holy Spirit, to be our ever-present helper and friend. And it's in those moments that relationship gets to shine. And so it's something that I've had to practice for sure in my life.
Well, and he tells us his power is made perfect in our weakness. So if you're feeling weak and disqualified and inadequate, congratulations.
Yeah. You just got
yourself a front row seat to see the Holy Spirit do something awesome.
And I think it's just, like, cultural motherhood in our world, that it's Christian motherhood is basically flipped upside down from it. Like, in our culture, it's all very, you know, like you talked about, like, do all the things, get all the things done, rest on your capabilities, do it all in your strength. Like, if your Instagram isn't perfectly, like, you know, your kids are perfect, you've got the perfect Easter baskets and the perfect rooms and all the perfect things, and we're getting everything done. And it's like, I feel like so many women are really finding their identity in that. And so then it can be hard for Christian moms to be living in that, but then have to say, actually, no, that's not where I find anything that's going to sustain me.
And with overwhelm, that's your superpower, is being able to say no.
Yep.
And I'll say, like, again, being back to my type A sisters, like, saying no is, like,
it is,
like, it sucks the air out of you, right? But when you recognize that, yeah, those things can be good, but when they are what you're driving towards as the, you know, as the evidence that you're doing a good job, you know, or that you're a worthwhile mom or all that kind of stuff, like, at the end of the day, that's not where it's at, you know? And so if you can't have the perfect Easter basket, you know, because instead you were tending to, you know, time with your kids, like, quality time, you know, or, you know, you planned out something, you know, different to engage them spiritually, you know, that's great, you know? It's like the Mary and Martha stuff, where it's like, we're going for the better portion. Like, we could go run ourselves ragged doing all the things, but there's not really connection in that, you know? And yeah, it feels good. It's okay. It looks good. That's okay. But without the connection, it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. One of the most profound and powerful things that has really changed my life is learning how to say, I love that you do that. I love that she does that. Like, looking at other moms and being able to say, I think that's so awesome that you do that. But I know that I'm not that mom, and I'm no less of a mom because of it. You know, being able to look at my daughter is in dance, and for Valentine's Day, one of the moms brought little Valentines for all the girls in the dance class. And I had a moment of like, oh, I should have done that. And then I stopped myself and was just able to say, I love that she does that. I'm so happy that she does that. I think that's so awesome. I didn't do that, and that's okay too.
Yep. Yep. And that's the thing too. Like, for example, even as we're talking about Easter baskets, I'm like, there's a mom who's listening who is like, but I love, that's how I express love to my
kids. Yeah, for sure.
Right? Like, I'm a gift giver. Like, that's what I love to do. And I'm not discounting
absolutely
that at
not,
all.
Yeah.
You know, but it is saying, you're not going to be equally gifted at all the things, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
You're not going to be able, or just by pure lack of time, like, you know, I'm thinking about like, okay, there's the baskets, and then there's the matching outfits, and then there's the, you know, perfect pictures, and you got to get the bunny, and like, all of those things, like, that not all those added together are going to express to your kids how much you delight in them. And that's what the resting is all about, is when we know how much God delights in us, I don't have to run myself after those things anymore. And then I can just focus on the ones that I really delight in, that I know my kids will know that I delight in them as I do these things.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I would love to know. I've loved getting to talk with you about overwhelm. And it's such a real struggle for, I think, every mom. I don't know if I've met a mom who hasn't dealt with overwhelm. And I know, especially in this early season of life of motherhood, it's really overwhelming, and it can be really easy to just be in a constant state of overwhelm. So I've loved getting to hear just some of the practical things that you do, and kind of the root of overwhelm, and how we can recognize it and move through it, and, you know, surrender and find our rest in God. It's just been so. Excuse me, so amazing to hear from you. I would love to know what, like, final advice, encouragement, any words of wisdom that you have for the mom who is listening, who is just feeling like overwhelm is her entire life right now.
The one thing that's just coming so clearly to my mind right now is God's not done. He's not done. Whatever you feel is broken or is unfixable or is beyond repair, whatever you're carrying around in your heart, that's what is really underneath all that overwhelm. The thing that is just continuing to nag at your heart and knock at your heart, the thing that makes you feel so inadequate, makes you feel disqualified, whatever that thing is, you know, as I'm saying it right now, God's not done with it. He's still working on you. He's still working in that. And everything that we're dealing with, everything that has happened to you, God is redeeming in real time. And that's the thing that we see in the Bible. You know, we see these stories of people who God did something cool for them. You know, took a bad thing, make it a good thing. And we know that. We hear that scripture, right? He takes what was meant for evil and turns it into something good. But there's something inherently in us a lot of the times that feels like that's not for me.
Yeah.
Or those people got lucky. Or God doesn't do that anymore. Or he doesn't do it for people like me. But I want you to know that those stories are not the exception. They're the rule. And he's still working. He's still not done.
Yeah, that's so good. And so, so, so powerful and so true. And I think if you take anything away from this today, I want it to be that, but God's not done. Absolutely not done. I would love to know, Michelle, how can we connect with you, with your ministry, with all the things that you're doing? How can we connect with you further?
Yeah, so we talked about this new Bible study. It's called Made for More: Life Beyond the Wreckage of Hurt, Loss, and Heartbreak. And while this is a Bible study that was written primarily for a single mother audience, the subline is also, it says a Bible study made for single moms and anyone else whose life hasn't gone as planned. So if you're in that category, you'll enjoy the study. But we also have a lot of resources through our ministry that are available to parents really in any season, but maybe you're dealing with some brokenness, some trauma, some abuse in the past, you know, just some really heavy circumstances that aren't often always really talked about in church, you know? And so we have resources available through our website at plusoneparents.org. And we're also on social media at plusone.parent.
Awesome. I will link all of Michelle's things in the show notes, link to the devotional website, all the things so that you can connect with her, because I don't know about you, but after talking with Michelle and hearing from her today, I am so excited to just dive into anything I can get from you, Michelle. So I just want to thank you again so much for coming and sharing with us and just breathing life into our weary souls and speaking encouragement to us. We are so grateful for you.
I am so glad that I got to sit and chat with you today. Thanks a lot, Jenna.
I hope you enjoyed this episode, and I hope that you got something out of it. I know that overwhelm is such a hard topic because it can feel like it's just a part of life. Like being a mom, being a wife, being a woman, overwhelm just, it's part of the package. But a lot of what Michelle shares is that there is more for us, and God has more for us than living in this overwhelmed, stressed out, isolated cycle. And Matthew 11, verse 28 says, "Come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest." And that is Jesus speaking, and he is our rest, and he is where we can lay down our burdens and lay down our whole selves and find rest from our overwhelm and rest from our burdens, and he will make us whole. And so I just, if you're in this right now, if this episode was speaking to you and you were like, yes, I am right in the middle of this, I am in the overwhelm just cycle and I don't know how to get out of it, I really want to encourage you to start by just coming to the feet of Jesus and turn on some worship music and just lay it all at his feet. There's nothing that's going to surprise him anyways. He knows everything. He knows the things that you're dealing with. He knows the things that you're going through. He knows the things that are overwhelming you. And he is waiting for you to come and bring those burdens to his feet, because you were not meant to carry them. Jesus came so that we could have help and so that we could have life and life abundantly, that we could live our life to the fullest. And that is not, life abundant is not a life of overwhelm. There is more for us. And that is Michelle's message. So I hope that this episode spoke to you. And as always, I want to pray for you real quick before we go. God, I thank you for the mama listening today, who is doing the worthy work of motherhood. Lord, if she's standing in front of a sink full of dishes, or if she's sitting in front of a laundry basket full of little tiny clothes that need to be folded, God, wherever she's at, I pray that you would be with her, that she would feel you all around her, that your presence would go before her and be all around her and be guiding her and be strengthening her, that your joy would be her strength. And Lord, I pray that you would give her the courage to lay her burdens down at your feet, to surrender all her worries, all the things that are overwhelming her, surrender them to you and allow you to carry them. Lord, we thank you that you are our helper and our friend. We thank you that you came to give us life and to give us life abundant. We praise you for that. And I just pray blessing over the mama listening and her family and her home. I pray that you would bless her, give her home joy. In Jesus' name, amen. If you found value in today's episode, the best way to thank me is by going to Apple Podcasts and leaving a written review. This helps me stay encouraged, but it also pushes this podcast out to more mamas that desperately need to hear about the joy and purpose that is readily available to them. So thank you in advance for being a part of this community and helping me get this message out to as many people as possible. You mean so much to me, and I can't wait to chat with you next week.